In Los Angeles, California, Mr. Albert E. Carter talked to newly trained reboundologists, guests, and many interested persons about reboundology and your well-being. It was a rare and exciting evening, and fortunately captured in its entirety, this remarkable event is yours to relive. You and Mr. Carter will share exciting, exacting, rewarding materials on rebounding never before experienced. Mr. Albert E. Carter.
I smile when I use the word reboundologist because it's a funny word, don't you think? Who ever heard of a reboundologist in the first place? What in the world can you learn about rebound exercise? Why is rebound exercise probably the fastest growing form of exercise in the United States today? Is it a fad? Or is there something really valuable in rebound exercise? There are a few of you here who have already found out because you've had actual experience with rebound exercise. There are a few of you here who have already spent the last 3 days learning about rebound exercise, and to your astonishment, you found out that Al Carter could talk for 30 hours nonstop and not repeat himself too much when we talk about rebound exercise. Do you want to know what a reboundologist looks like? With that, I'd like to have all of the reboundologists, those that just finished the course, please stand up. I need a show of hands. How many have read the book, The Miracles of Rebound Exercise? Please raise your hands high. Okay, I want to ask another question now. How many have not even heard of the book, The Miracles of Rebound Exercise? Raise your hands high. Those of you who have read the book, turn around and look at the guys that raised their hands high and do something about it. The book has a rather strange history. The book was written by a person who was not an author until the book was written. Okay? In other words, I did not study to be an author. The book has been selling like hotcakes. May 1st of 1979, the book was in print. The advertising budget for that book is zero. The book sells by word of mouth. Those of you who have never heard of rebound exercise, expect to hear something that you've never heard before. But I can also promise you that the things that you're going to hear are absolutely true. And those of you who have been here before, I'm sure that you are going to rejuvenate your interest and your enthusiasm with rebound exercise. Let's find out what rebound exercise is. And in order to find out what rebound exercise is, the first thing we have to find out is what in the world is exercise? Well, we all know what exercise is, don't we? It's grunting and groaning and sweating and pain and, or is it? Actually, let's find out what exercise is. You know, there's a lot of people who are carrying on some athletic event and they call it exercise, such as racquetball, tennis, jogging, and some other sport. Except that when you really analyze it, is it really an exercise or is it a sport? And is there a difference? If you talk to a professional coach, he will tell you that a sport is something you enjoy or you do in order to make money. But a professional coach will also tell you that you never indulge in a sport until you have exercised sufficiently to be in shape for a sport. The amateur athlete doesn't know that. The amateur athlete is that individual who used to play football and who didn't like calisthenics, who decided to go out for some type of sport to keep in shape because he wants to look better and feel better. And therefore he goes out for tennis, racquetball, or some other sport like basketball, or even touch football, for the purpose of keeping in shape. And if you're using a sport to keep in shape, you're getting the cart before the horse. And it's dangerous. The reason it's dangerous is simply because when you're working out in a sport, or working on a sport, in a sport, you're not interested really in the health of the body. You're more interested in the score you're going to accumulate, or the money you're going to make. So the reward is on the outside of the body. Exercise, then, is something that you do, an activity that you do, that is beneficial not to just part of the body, but to the entire body. Now that's important to understand that, because there are some people who are carrying on an athletic event or an activity where the only thing they're concerned about is the heart. Cardiovascular efficiency is what they call it. And they run their legs off and limp to work the next morning. Or they run their legs off and they have shin splints. Or they run their legs off and they have a blister. Or they have problems with their lower back, their knees, or something else like that. And then they say to themselves, well, if I'm going to keep my heart in shape, I've got to be willing to pay the price of pain. And so they limp to work. And they brag about how good they feel. We've got 20 million people who jog today. But now if you had total up the people who used to jog and no longer jog, the former joggers would outweigh the people who now jog, because for some reason they found that it might be good for John or Harry or Tom, but it isn't good for them because of the pain that they have to suffer or the inconvenience. We recognize that we need exercise, but what type of exercise should we be involved in? First of all, if you're going to have an ideal exercise, the first thing you should look for is something that is not injurious to the body. Something that you don't have to worry about. Then the next thing I'd do, if I was going to have a perfect exercise, I'd have something that was convenient. Something that I could do when I'm in the mood. Because many times when a person gets ready to exercise, they have to change clothes, slip on some shoes, drive to wherever they're going to exercise, and by the time they get to where they're going to exercise, they're out of the mood. They really didn't want to in the first place. Or they go to where they're supposed to exercise and they find that that racquetball court was taken by somebody else. Or that particular one is closed. Or the partner didn't show up because of a previous engagement. And so they don't exercise, but they've wasted time. Let's find out then what would be a good exercise. First of all, we find out that exercise is an activity and we find out that the human body needs exercise. But if we're going to have an ideal exercise, what we want is one that is convenient, easy, fun, economical, definitely economical in today's prices, right? And safe. In order to understand what rebound exercise is and see if rebound exercise fits in that, the first thing we have to do is find a common denominator with all exercises. An exercise that would be good would be able to meet all of the criteria of an exercise. The common denominator of all exercises that the human body does is the opposition to the gravitational pull of the Earth. Now that's a rather interesting statement, isn't it? The common denominator of all exercises is the opposition to the gravitational pull of the Earth. Let's analyze that to see if what I'm saying is true. Let's do some push-ups. If we do push-ups, what force are we pushing away from? Gravity? We all agree with that? Okay, let's sit down on the floor and we do sit-ups. As we're doing sit-ups, what force pulls our back down? Gravity. How about leg lifts? You lay down on the floor and you start lifting your legs up, and as you lift your legs up, what force do you have to oppose in order to lift the legs up? Gravity. There you go. Even your walking, jogging, and running, the what is known as aerobic exercise. In order to walk, jog, and run, the first thing you have to do is you have to take the center of gravity, move it off its base until you start falling forward, you see? Then when you start falling forward, you have to take a step to keep from falling on your face, right? So once again, you have to oppose gravity to walk, jog, or run. Even swimming, a fantastic exercise. We know what swimming does for the body. Everybody says that swimming is a great exercise. But even swimming, what is that the whole pushes down on the water hard enough to make it dense enough to have something to resist against when we swim? Gravity keeps that water down there and makes it dense. How about weightlifting? Hey, weightlifting is a terrific sport. We know that it develops strong muscles, right? But the word weight, by definition, is mass times gravity. So you see, every exercise that the human body does has something to do with the gravitational pull of the Earth. Now that's very important. Then what we have to do is we have to figure out how to use that force of gravity to help us to exercise. Well, we've got a great scholar who helped us in this search. His name is Albert Einstein, and I don't know about you, but I'm not going to argue with him. He's won too many arguments, you see. But he made the statement in 1911 that the human body couldn't tell the difference between the force of acceleration, deceleration, and gravity. Ah, now we're talking about more than one force, aren't we? We all know what gravity is. It's that force that's ever present, that's always pulling down. It's been here before we were born. It's going to be here after we die. And we can't get out of it. We're subjected to it, but we can't control it. Right?
Right.
But there's two other forces. Two forces that we're subjected to, especially when we start moving around. One force is the force of acceleration. The other one is the force of deceleration, and the human body can't tell the difference. Ah, We've been using the force of acceleration and deceleration for a long time, haven't we? Anytime we want to go anyplace, the first thing we do is we get into an automobile, we turn on the key, step on the accelerator, we move forward faster, we feel a force pushing us right back into the seat. That's the force of acceleration, right? And the muscles right here begin to pull forward, the very same muscles that hold us up. We want to slow down or stop, we step on the brake, right? Or the decelerator. And we feel a force pushing us forward. That's the force of deceleration. And once again, the muscles in our back try to pull us up, the very same muscles that we've been using to oppose gravity. And we are exercising. Except that's an awful way to get our exercise, and most police officers wouldn't agree with it, you see. But did you know that the force of deceleration has a greater effect on the woman than on the man? Are you aware that the force of deceleration has a greater force on the woman than the man? You didn't know that, did you? If you don't believe me, sit right by a woman driver. She steps on the brake and immediately the arm goes out. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Sure. I'm sitting right next to my wife. She steps on the brake and the arm goes right across like this. Because she wants to make sure that my face doesn't suffer the consequences of the force of deceleration of the car. And that force of acceleration and deceleration is so powerful that it's dangerous if uncontrolled. If you don't believe me, walk out to the end of this hallway and step out the window. See? The force of acceleration will take your breath away. But it's that force of deceleration at the bottom that does you in, right? So we know that the forces of acceleration and deceleration are very important. In fact, one of the things that an astronaut had to be able to do is he had to be able to prove that his body could resist the force of acceleration 7 times that of the G-force of the Earth. 7 times the gravitational pull. 7 times the gravitational pull. Do you know how much that is? 7 times 150 pounds? Who can give me that number in a hurry? 1,050 pounds? That's a lot. That's an awful lot. You see, the force of acceleration has such an effect on the human body that they had to make sure that they could resist the force of 7 G's, because that's how much that astronaut had to resist when he was shot up toward space. Well, the astronaut was up there in space. Well, while he's up in space, he didn't have gravity to resist, so he could float around, do whatever else he wanted to. Hey, this is all right, man, up there. No gravity. But when he came back down, he found that the force of deceleration, when they slowed down the landing module, that he had to resist the force of 3.5 G's, or 3.5 times the gravitational pull. So you see, man has been working with these forces, acceleration and deceleration and gravity, all the time. But we have never thought about connecting up all three of these forces in exercise. For example, do we have any coaches here? Any coach? Raise your hand, coaches. Coach, how are you doing? Coach, have you ever said, all right, guys, let's accelerate? Okay, he says, yes, he has. All right, coach, have you ever said, come on, guys, let's decelerate 3 more times?
Yes.
Good. You're involved with rebound exercise, aren't you? All right. You see, this terminology isn't usually among the vocabulary of coaches. They don't say, guys, let's oppose gravity 6 more times. All right? No, they say let's push-ups, pull-ups, leg lifts, and so on. But you see, the forces of acceleration and deceleration and gravity have never been used when it comes to exercise. I was giving this presentation in Ohio one time, and one of the gentlemen stood up. He was an Amish farmer, nice beard, black coat, and everything else. He says, Mr. Carter, it appears to me that we've been connecting up 3 powerful horses to 1 plow. With 1 horse pulling to the right, 1 horse pulling to the left, and 1 horse pulling right straight ahead. I says, you've got the idea exactly. How much plowing could you get done if you did that? He says, none. I said, but what would happen if you took those 3 powerful forces and connected them up to the plow and had them all one direction? He said, well, we'd have a very efficient way of plowing our fields. So that's what I'd like to do today. I would like to show you a very efficient way of exercising. And in order to do that, we have to take the 3 powerful forces that we've been talking about, the force of gravity, the force of acceleration, and the force of deceleration, and I would like to put them all one plane or one direction. That isn't too hard to do because we really don't have a choice. Gravity is always like this, right? We can't change that. We're subjected to it, but we can't change it. So in order to use the force of acceleration and deceleration in the same plane as gravity, we have to line up acceleration and deceleration like this. Well, if we line up acceleration and deceleration and gravity all in the same plane, we've got a very efficient way of exercising the body. In order to do this, I'm going to use a piece of equipment. This piece of equipment is a rebound unit. I'm going to put it right down here, take off my shoes, and I'll stand up here. And as I stand here, I weigh 165 pounds. Can we agree with that? All right. Then, if I begin to move up and down like this, something miraculous begins to happen. You see, at the bottom of the balance now, I no longer weigh 165 pounds. In fact, at this height right here, I weigh approximately 200 pounds. Hey, that's only at the bottom of the balance, ladies. But at the bottom of the balance right here, I only weigh 200 pounds. Now, where did that extra 25% come from?
Deceleration.
Deceleration. When I come down, I have to stop, right? Okay. Part of it comes from the force of deceleration. Carpenters have been using the force of deceleration all the time because they recognize that you can't put a nail in a board just by laying the head of the hammer on the head of the nail. You have to make the head of the hammer decelerate on the head of the nail. And the force of deceleration puts that nail in the board. So that force of deceleration is there. And when I come down, I have to stop. That force of deceleration is added to the force of gravity. Now the springs take over and push me back up, and that's the force of acceleration. And where do all three of the forces come together? At the bottom of the balance. So you see, if I was standing on a bathroom scales, what would happen to that needle at the bathroom scales? It'd fluctuate, and it would go up to 200 pounds. It would fluctuate, you see. And that's measurable. We've done it. We can see what it does. You can see what it does. Go home and try it out on your own bathroom scales. Get up there and bounce up and down and see what happens. In fact, there are some people here who actually call it a G-meter. Are you aware of that? Some people actually call it a G-meter. They get up in the morning, go over and stand on it, they look down at it, and they say, oh, gee. Now I have to ask you a question. How many cells share with that increased stress? All of them. You mean to tell me that if I take my fingertips and put them on pockets like this, that even the fingertips on my hands in my pockets share with that increase of 25%? You bet. Can you know what we're talking about now? You analyze that for just a few minutes, and then you go talk to any coach, any chiropractor, any medical doctor, any physiologist, and ask him, what is the formula for strength, physical strength? And he'll tell you, you've got to stress a group of cells, and you have to do it over and over and over again. That's the very concept of weightlifting. You stress a group of cells and do it over and over and over again, and what happens to that muscle? It gets stronger. All right, now we're stressing a group of cells. How many?
All.
And we're doing it over and over and over again. What's going to happen to every cell in the body?
It gets stronger.
Do they have a choice?
No.
Isn't that exciting? That's really amazing concept, isn't it? And it's so simple. I gave this presentation to a group of fourth graders, and they're real excited. Hey, let me have my turn. Let me have my turn. Okay? Now it's my turn. I'm talking. So now we're talking about a rather interesting form of exercise. The rather amazing thing is that trampolining or rebound exercise has actually been around for over 50 years. That is why you are here, to learn about rebound exercise. That's why the book, The Miracles of Rebound Exercise, is selling so fast. That's why we have not had to advertise the book. And the reason we haven't had to advertise the book is because when one person reads it, they say, oh my goodness, that is so simple and so easy, I gotta try it. And after they try it, it works. And they say, hey, John, read this book if you dare, you see. Read this book, I want you to learn what I have just learned. Read this book. It's going to change your life. Let's find out about rebound exercise. We've just presented to you the concept or the theory of rebound exercise. Perhaps the most important exercise you can do is what is known as the health bounce. Here we go. There it is. That's the most important exercise you can do. Now, the reason we call this the health exercise is because every body is equipped with what is known as the lymphatic system. Let me explain the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system is a system of tubes that start in the toes and the fingertips and other extremities of the body. They branch together like a tree, And then finally they come together in the thoracic area right here. They connect together on the thoracic duct, that's a big lymph tube. And then finally they come up here and empty the lymph fluid back into the bloodstream right here. The lymphatic system is filled with millions of one-way valves. The lymphatic system starts at lymphatic terminals that sucks up all of the excess fluid around the body and dumps it back into the bloodstream where it belongs. The lymphatic system is such a unique system because it is the thoroughfare or the transportation system for a little cell known as the lymphocyte. How many of you heard of a lymphocyte? Okay, a lymphocyte happens to be part of the body, and its job is to keep the body clean. It's the garbage collector of the body. When a cell dies, it is the lymphocyte who has the responsibility of going out and cleaning up that dead cell. When bacteria attack the body, it is the responsibility of the lymphocyte to destroy that bacteria. When there's a virus or flu or anything else around, it is the lymphocyte that goes out there. It is the army that protects the rest of the body. The lymphocyte has the capability of ingesting and digesting foreign particles. The lymphatic system is so important that the book, Medical Physiology, written by Dr. Arthur C. Guyton, makes the statement that if the lymphatic system stops circulating for 24 hours, death will occur. In 24 hours. Hey, is that important? Is it important to keep that lymphatic system circulating? If it stops circulating for just 24 hours, you're going to die. Then it is important to keep that lymphatic system circulating, isn't it? Dr. West, a lymphatologist, makes a statement that if the lymphatic system is circulating properly, it's practically impossible to get sick. Now we're not only talking about sickness and health, we're talking about life and death. That lymphatic system is so important to us that without it, we would not exist. You know, the lymphatic system has the capability of identifying mutant cells, and you know it is the responsibility of the lymphocyte to destroy mutant cells. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have little lymphocytes running around in my body that have the responsibility and the capability of destroying mutant cells and bacteria and viruses, then I want those little lymphocytes to be circulating around just as fast as they can go. Is it important to keep those little lymphocytes working? You bet it is. Well, now we got a problem. It says, according to Dr. Guyton's book, if the lymphatic system stops circulating for just 24 hours, we're going to die. So we've got to figure out how to keep that lymphatic system circulating. So, what I'd like you to do, everybody here, hold one finger up in the air. Now, with that one finger, I want everybody to point to your lymph pump. We don't even know what a lymph pump is, do we? We don't know where it is. But it's so important to us that if it isn't working, hey, we've had it. All right, I'm going to tell you where the lymph pump is. The lymphatic system is filled with millions of one-way valves. These one-way valves sort of work like a hydraulic pressure system. They're like this inside those little tubes, you see. And anytime there's pressure buildup below the one-way valve opens up. Anytime there's pressure above the one-way valve, it closes. So the fluid can only go one direction. How do you cause the lymphatic pump to circulate or move? Well, I'd like to show you a very efficient way of getting that lymphatic system to circulate. Watch. If you can imagine, I'm filled with millions of one-way tubes, you see, like straws throughout my entire body, and they're filled with these little tubes like this. You've got columns of fluid in these little tubes, and as I go up, all of this fluid goes up this way with the body. But when I come up to the top, I stop, and the fluid still goes up, and the one-way valves open up, and I come down. The fluid's still going up, you see? So it's up like this. And you got millions of one-way valves all going like this all at once. All right? And what's happening? It's creating a suction at the bottom, pulling out the lymph fluid, pulling all right up through the lymphatic system, and the one-way valves are going like this. Isn't that exciting? In fact, if every one of us had a little red label across our forehead that said, shake well before using. There's the health bounce. The best exercise you can do. Now, we've also found several other exercises that are very important. The next exercise I'd like to present to you is what we call the aerobic exercise. Up until Dr. Cooper's book Aerobics came out, the word aerobic was only used in the laboratories among scientists or medical doctors. Actually, the word aerobic merely means oxygen to the cells. or anything that needs oxygen to create energy is aerobic. All animals are aerobic. All men are animals. Some more so than others. We all need oxygen in order to create energy. We're living in a sea of oxygen, but we have a thin shell around all of our cells. It's called the skin. That we've got to get the oxygen from the nose to the toes on the inside of the body the most efficient way possible. Aerobic exercises, then, is just about any activity that you can do, but the main aerobic exercises were called aerobic exercises because they are the ways to get the most oxygen in. And the only way you can get oxygen on the inside is use up oxygen. So the best way to use up oxygen is to use the biggest muscles of the body. The biggest muscles of the body are the legs. Is this an aerobic exercise? Of course. Dr. Kenneth Cooper said that walking is as good aerobic exercise as jogging. It just takes longer. Walking is a good aerobic exercise. This is a good aerobic exercise. Walking, jogging, running, bicycling, and swimming are all good aerobic exercises because you're using your big muscles. This is a good aerobic exercise. What about this one? Is this a good aerobic exercise? Of course. What about this one? Looks a little like jogging, doesn't it? Don't let it confuse you. It's more like rebounding, you see. How about this one? Is this a good aerobic exercise? Of course it is, because now you're using the muscles a little bit more, you're using up more oxygen, and when you use up more oxygen, you get out of breath. How about this one? Is this a good aerobic exercise? Of course it is. In fact, it doesn't make any difference what type of aerobic exercise I want or how fast I get the pulse rate going. I'm going to have a very good aerobic exercise, and you're going to notice that pretty soon, instead of being able to talk like this all the time, I'm going to get out of breath, because what I'm doing is I'm creating an oxygen debt, and that oxygen debt is going to cause me to breathe harder. And when I start breathing harder, I'm not going to be able to talk very fast, and that oxygen debt is going to be there until I pay it back in full. All right? There's the aerobic exercise. And notice that I have eliminated a few things during my aerobic exercise. The barking and biting dogs, the 10-speed bicycles. I've eliminated all of those things, but I have also replaced it with very important things such as the television, Good Morning America, the air conditioner, I don't like to sweat, and I have replaced it with my children, my family, so I can be around them. I've replaced it with a lock on the door so I don't have to worry about being mugged. And notice also that I've eliminated the shock and trauma to the skeletal system. Now we're talking about something. You see, we recognize we need aerobic exercise, but we don't need the shock and trauma to the skeletal system that causes weak ankles, weak knees, lower back problems, that causes the shin splints, that sometimes puts a man out of work for as high as a month because he just tore a ligament in his knee and had to have it operated on. I don't have any of that. The next exercise I'd like to present to you is in what we call a strength exercise. We follow a very simple law of physics. Sir Isaac Newton made the statement that the farther a free-falling body falls in the Earth's gravitational pull, the faster it travels until something slows it down or stops it. He was talking about gravity, but he's also talking about the force of acceleration and the force of deceleration, which means the higher you jump, the faster you come down. The faster you come down, the faster you stop. The faster you stop, the greater the springs are stretched. And the greater the springs are stretched, the greater the push is coming back up. You add the increased acceleration and the increased deceleration to the already gravitational pull, and you've developed a much greater G-force. For example, at this height right here, I no longer weigh 165 pounds at the bottom of the bounce. At this height, I weigh approximately 2 G's, or twice the gravitational pull. Now, how many cells are affected by that 2 G force?
All.
Now, what's going to happen every time you land on the rebound unit? Every cell in the body is going to receive a very special message. That very special message is, do your job better, or you're going to be eliminated. Very simple. Do you know that cells can go along with a message like that? They understand that very well. In fact, cells have the tenacity to live. In fact, they will do anything they can to become better, to live. And every cell will do its best to create the energy necessary for the development of a greater, more efficient body. Therefore, if every cell has the tenacity for life and will do everything it can to become stronger, what's going to happen to every cell in the body? It's going to become stronger. And once again, do they have a choice?
No.
Nope. Now, we know what weightlifting does to the muscle, right? And the reason weightlifting does that is because you stress a group of cells and you do it over and over and over again. With rebound exercise, you're stressing a group of cells and you're doing it over and over and over again, and every cell in the body will become stronger. Now, I'm a professional trampolinist. I've been a trampolinist for 26 years, a professional trampolinist for 12. I had the opportunity of traveling all over the United States with my family. We were performing under the name of the Gymnastics Fantastics, sponsored by the Marriott Corporation. Gymnastics Fantastics show consisted of myself, my 5-year-old son, Darren, and my 9-year-old daughter, Wendy. And we performed 3 shows a day, 5 days a week. 500 shows in a 9-month period. And when we went back home to Edmonds, we went back to school. She went in the 5th grade. My son went into the 1st grade. And it wasn't too long before my son came home and says, "Dad, I want to go out for wrestling." Well, I was a wrestler at Oklahoma State University, and he couldn't have said anything nicer to me. It was music to my ears. And I said, "Sure, son, you can go out for wrestling. When you get into junior high school, we'll make sure you go out for wrestling." He says, "No, Dad, I want to go out for wrestling in the 1st grade." I says, "Now, wait a minute. You don't have any wrestling in the 1st grade." And he says, "Yes, we do. We have what is called kids wrestling, and I want to join the wrestling team known as the Wrestling Rhinos." I says, "Hey, this has got to be something." The coach has to be something between a babysitter and a kindergarten fight referee. So I went out with him to find out what was happening, and sure enough, they had a wrestling team. A couple weeks later, Darren came home, and he says, "Dad, I did 15 sit-ups." "It made you tired, didn't it?" He says, "No, I didn't." "You mean to tell me you could do more than 15 sit-ups?" He says, "Yeah, probably." I says, "How many sit-ups can you do?" He says, "Nobody ever asked me." So I held his ankles down, he started doing sit-ups. This is a 6-year-old kid, you know. Proud dad is counting. 25, 26, 27, 28, that's all right. 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, hey, that's all right for a first grader. 101, 102, 103, 104, 105. That's 251, 252, 253, 200. He kept right on going. I thought something was wrong with him. He stopped at 429 sit-ups. 429 sit-ups! That was amazing. I couldn't believe it. That was my son, 429 sit-ups. I could hardly stand it. "Hey, Mom, he did 429 sit-ups." He made a mistake, a couple of them, in fact. First mistake is he stopped because he was bored. Second mistake is that he was doing them in front of his 11-year-old sister, Wendy. Now, do you think that my 11-year-old daughter is going to let my little first-grade son beat her in anything? Not at that age. So this time I had to hold her ankles down, and Dad got bored. There's my daughter doing sit-ups. She stopped at 476 sit-ups. Hey, let me tell you something. It was at that time that I decided that my kids were either going around the corner to the corner health spa and pumping iron behind my back, or something else happened to my children. And I begin to look back, and the only thing that I could tell that happened to them that didn't happen to anybody else is that they were involved with rebound exercise. Do you know that my little daughter, Wendy, in the 6th grade, she came home and very nonchalantly one day said, "I beat all of the 6th grade boys in arm wrestling." In the 7th grade, she says, "Dad, I beat all but 3 of the 9th grade boys in arm wrestling." And 3 of those 9th grade boys wouldn't arm wrestle her. She went into the junior high school, and all throughout junior high school, there she was, straight A cheerleader, lovely, petite, 110-pound girl, very lovely girl, and also the strongest person in her entire school. And it was embarrassing to see that little cheerleader put down those big football players in arm wrestling. Well, she's now in high school. Good thing. I understand that her boyfriends can beat her in arm wrestling now. You see, she might be strong, but she's not stupid. I used to brag that I could do 100 one-arm push-ups. until just about 1 year ago, my son did 125 one-arm push-ups. I don't say anything anymore. I've been brought down to his size. However, Darren did continue to go out for wrestling. He had a lot of fun. In fact, the last 4 years, he has come in first place in the Washington State Wrestling Championships. And in the last 3 years, he has come in first, second, or third in the Nationals. You see, rebound exercise has changed Darren's life. It's also changed our lives. But most importantly, it is not something that we've had to work at. It's something we played at, and it's something that we have enjoyed. The concept is so simple that many people overlook it. They look at the rebounder and they say, that is so simple, it can't be that easy. But when you really analyze it, it is exactly that. We do have to put up with gravity. We can't do anything about it, right? And every part of our body is constantly fighting against gravity. In fact, our only choice is to give up and drop down in the catatonic state and die. Because if we don't give up, we are constantly opposing gravity. A rebounder is going to be in front of every television in the United States eventually. A piece of rebound exercise is going to be in every executive's office. Because every executive needs exercise, they need to relax, they need to freshen up, and they need to get that exercise in order to keep them at their sharpest. But every executive also has the responsibility of using his time efficiently. And an executive can kick off his shoes, go over here, and move up and down for 3 or 4 minutes, and relax, eliminate the stress, and keep his body toned and tight, get back, slip his shoes on, and nobody knows that he's been doing his exercise. I've given you the story of rebound exercise. It is the most efficient, the most effective form of exercise yet devised by man. But it's also fun, easy, convenient, economical, and safe. Make it available to grandma and grandpa and to the 18-month-old child, and make it available to the housewife who has a few children where she can't go out and exercise because she has to worry about babysitters. Make it available to the doctor who is so busy that the only time he has to exercise is when 60 Minutes is on. And you've got a form of exercise that is going to sweep across the nation. And it's going to catch the imagination of those people who want to look better and feel better. Now, we have evaluated the value of rebound exercise. And we have decided that there's two groups of people who will buy rebound exercise. One group are those who have more wealth than health. And they're ready to exchange a little bit of the wealth for a little more of the health. Then there's another group of people who want to get involved with rebound exercise. That's the group who have more health than wealth. They have enough health, but they'd like to get a little bit more of that wealth. And therefore, they're willing to sell rebound exercise equipment to those who have more wealth than health. And somehow, I have a feeling that the two groups of people are going to be able to get along together and satisfy the needs of each one of them. It has been a real pleasure to be here. In just this one small hour, we have just barely scratched the surface. Rebound exercise is so big and so phenomenal that it's one of those things that you should become involved with for your own health and for the health of those people you love. And if you happen to make a little bit of money, then all the better. There's nothing wrong with that. Thank you very much.
Thanks.